Shaken Mega Maniacs, it is Monday, February 8th. We just finished watching tonight's edition of Monday Night Raw, and you are gathered and tuned in to the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw Post Show on MegaPowersRadio.com. We're going to be inviting you, the listener out there, to participate in the show all throughout the evening, posing us questions, telling us your thoughts of Raw, whatever the heck else is on your mind, because I'm sure people got plenty running through it. We had an incredible, game-changing moment happened tonight. Titus O'Neil finally lost again. Guys, it's done. All this stuff with Titus O'Neil, I think it's finally done. We can finally put it to rest. We can put big smiles on our faces and move on.
Thank God.
No, actually. A lot of people, I'm sure, are buzzing about Daniel Bryan has retired. He announced it earlier today on Twitter, and now he made a full speech at the end of the show. Doesn't look like it's a work, guys. This is legit. We're going to be talking a large part about this, so please start posting your questions, comments, anything about that, or anything else in the comments of the chat room, on Twitter, on our voicemail. All those things are going to be open all throughout the night, so please participate. That's going to be the big topic tonight. To tell y'all who are tuning in for the first time how to do those things, Twitter is at Raw Post Show. Chat room is on Mixlr.com broadcast page. Shoutouts to all the cats we got in there early. It's a packed room tonight. I could tell people are excited. We got Wazili, Silent Wind of Doom already in the chat. Kenneth Cade, GhostFlux72B, Peter Picanini, Ben Guest 1, Kalen Ferris, Brian the Brain, Miguel Leon 2. Miguel Leon 1 was taken, unfortunately. Declan McSee, Tony Theidman, welcome back, dude. Angie Pie 4. Three people listening elsewhere, packed house tonight, guys, and you three people listening elsewhere, navigate yourself to the Mixlr page, and you can get involved in the chat room there. It's buzzing heavily in there. And also, it is the new month, so we should have our speak pipe open up again. Head over to MegaPowersRadio.com, click the little widget under the participate page, and you can leave us up to a 45-second voicemail with your question or comment that we will play live on the air and respond to. In the meantime, we're going to get things kicked off with me and the rest of the panelists. First off, my name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio and host of the Raw Post Show every Monday night here on Mega Powers Radio. And with me, I have a good-sized cast as well, so it's going to be a lot of conversation. First off, the co-host of the year from SmartGoutMoment.com, Mr. Drew White.
And gosh darn it, Mike Payton, I'm just grateful to be here with you. I'm grateful for the people listening, and I'm grateful for being grateful.
Yeah. You know, that's what I said after I ate dinner. I was feeling great and full.
Were you full?
Yeah, I was full. It was great.
How full were you, though?
Greatly.
That was good.
Also with us is Mr. Steven Holwego.
Hey, good to be here. Just wish we had a little happier ending to the night.
You mean you weren't grateful for it?
Grateful for Daniel Bryan, not for the ending.
And the main man of SmartGoutMoment.com, Mr. Tony Mango.
Socko!
Yeah, indeed. Here's a little bit of a shout-out from the music from No Mercy. If you are an old-school N64 player, man, I'm actually referring to the N64 as old-school now. World men. Fellas, the big topic, I don't know how we couldn't talk about it. A tweet was put out earlier today. Daniel Bryan saying that he is announcing his retirement and would be on the show tonight as they were going to be close to his hometown in Seattle. From the moment this show started, the crowd was just constantly chanting Daniel Bryan. It's not that they didn't care what else was going in the ring. They would keep getting invested and were relatively respectful, but any chance that they could fit it in, they were bringing up a Daniel Bryan chant. They loved this guy so much. It was great seeing the admiration all the way up until the actual speech at the end of the night. We've already made jokes about it, and I think a lot of people are going to do it with this whole grateful thing because he said it a lot. Listen, it's a speech. It was the theme of it. Daniel Bryan is never considered the best orator, but he actually did, I think, an amazing speech. And I think I saw someone in the Mega Maniacs chat say that it's the best retirement speech they ever had watched, and it's up there.
Yeah.
The only thing that kind of makes me a little more teary-eyed, I would say, is the first Shawn Michaels retirement, but maybe that's just a personal thing. But this was an incredible, incredible speech. The way he called out to people in the crowd, yeah, he went for the cheap pops with the Seattle Seahawks and the Connor and all that, but he was recanting his whole career from where he was wrestling at gas stations, all the people he's met from William Regal. It was a fantastic speech.
So would it be fair to say if Daniel Bryan had come out with a "tell me a lie" that you would have been like bawling?
Oh my gosh, I would have lost it. Absolutely would have lost it.
And it's not many retirement speeches that you really get a chance to make it. That's what she said chant started. So I think maybe someone else posted it as well. But compared to the Edge one, which is really the only other one that I've had a chance to watch live other than maybe the Shawn Michaels the second time, that was a hell of a speech. It kept me entertained. And I think a part of the reason it kept me entertained was, you know, we all knew that he was going to retire. I think everyone was hoping in some way, shape, or form that this was a work, whether someone came out and interrupted it or just anything to happen to give us a glimpse that he was going to continue wrestling in some form. But shit, that was just really just awe-inspiring and upsetting, because it's really upsetting now just talking about it, I guess.
Tony Wago, do you have any thoughts about this speech itself that we had tonight?
Daniel Bryan hit all the right notes, and I think the only reason I wasn't too depressed afterwards was because I kind of expected it. I'd readied myself for Daniel Bryan's retirement months and months ago, back when there was rumors about it. I mean, people have been talking about him retiring after the first injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's been a slippery slope, and it's kind of sad to see it come to this. It would have been nice to see him go out a little stronger, but at the end, the guy's never looked weak in the end tail of his career, and no one can ever take WrestleMania 30 away from him.
That's what I say, go out stronger. I mean, the last two big matches he had were WrestleMania matches where he won titles.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then Sheamus touched him.
Oh my gosh, the backlash on Sheamus I've been seeing. This poor guy.
He's injured right now as well.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Sheamus fan, but it ain't Sheamus' fucking fault.
This is years and years. Daniel Bryan even said that in his speech about how he had concussions pretty much from the start, and it just built and built from there.
And also another thing that he mentioned was he finally got a test that said that his brain wasn't so well. So everyone who's – I know people for the past months now have been criticizing WWE for not allowing him to wrestle, even though he's been cleared by other wrestlers. He never really – I don't know about the extent of the test that he got that said that they weren't – that his brain wasn't as good as what he previously thought. But – and I guarantee when he goes on interviews, he'll go in depth about that more in the future. But man, it's not every day that WWE's right about stuff where we all kind of agree. But in a way, I really hope WWE does not get the backlash that people were wanting to give them for a long while now, because they really don't deserve it.
I never really bought into this whole notion of WWE going out of their way to hold Daniel Bryan back. When you have an opportunity to print money, they're smart enough to at least take it, whether they like the
Vince
person or not.
Is smart enough to do it. He's the best businessman in wrestling. You know, any chance he sees money and dollar signs, you know he's going to take advantage of it.
And Triple H too.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think Triple H in this modern world may have better business savvy than Vince does, but that's a whole topic for another day. I pull a couple comments out of the chat room here. Declan McSee saying, and Kane, someone on Instagram tries to blame Kane, and I told him not to. So people are blaming Kane too?
We've got a lot of topics that are bouncing around here. And for the people that think that, all right, well, for the people that think that this is anybody's fault other than just bad luck, they need to stop trying to find somebody to blame. It's not Sheamus' fault. It's not Kane's fault. It's not like these people went out. It would be a different story if we had like the Rock and Mick Foley chair shot situation where it would be like, okay, the Rock went out of his way to do something that ended up being too dangerous. And if that would have been the case and that led to Daniel Bryan, then it would have been like, yo, the Rock's not fucking safe. But that didn't happen. He built up concussions over 16 years. It's, you know, his body broke down. The same thing with Edge. It wasn't Del Rio's fault that Edge had to retire. For the people that think that WWE kept Daniel Bryan back with this injury, fuck no, they wouldn't have done that. If he would have had good testing and they wouldn't have thought that it was a risk, they would have brought him back as soon as they possibly could have.
Especially in the climate right now with all their guys injured.
Right. Now,
this
I think
is the cherry on top if you really think about it.
When he originally got the push, I do think that they were holding him back. Because I think that they just didn't believe it, and they were like, "Oh, the fans don't know really what they want, and we'll give him a good spot at WrestleMania, but it won't be the main spot." That's, you know, we went into that for years and all that. It's not applying to the concussion situation.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. Like they were holding him back during that period of time. A lot of the spots that he had were planned for CM Punk or somebody else,
right.
But
But the concussion stuff is just they're not going to have a whole slew of injuries and be like, nah, we don't want Daniel Bryan coming back. They're not fucking idiots.
I have a question for you, Tony. The Kane incident, was that when it was like the nerve injury that he had back in 2014?
That was the match that he had when he was defending the title, I think. That was like the last match he had. So I think people probably were like, oh, it's his fault and whatever. And it's like,
so wait, before he took the long extended period of absence, or which one was that? Because
that was the world title one.
Okay. And I don't think people realize this, but that first injury he had, remember that back in 2013 when he had that match with Orton where they ended the match because he got some like type of nerve damage? He has said in interviews since then that he kept on wrestling even though it was not the right decision because of the push that he was getting at the time, that he just did not want to leave and possibly come back and not be in that same situation. So you can only blame him for the first injury. And even the second, well, you can't really blame someone for a concussion because that's just, you know, unfortunate circumstances. But that first injury that took him out for like 8 or 9 months, you can only blame him for that because he knew what was wrong, but he refused to get the help that he needed to fix it at the time it was. So, you know, at least he got his big moment, but it's going to be weird. But in some way, Daniel Bryan might be one of the biggest what-ifs in WWE just because when he was at the peak, he got the first injury, and then when he came back, the injuries kept on coming in. It's crazy to think that him would just be a what if because he's one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Well, it's funny you say that because the next question I wanted to pose is what if this was a different time period? What if this was just like 5 years ago when they were not taking concussions quite as seriously?
Oh,
like, I would have just told him to take a salt tablet and get back out there.
Yeah, Vince would be like pushing him through the fucking curtain going, oh, go on, just go out there. You can be sick at home, we'll be sick at work.
But 5 years ago, would he even be in that situation? Like, just in that spotlight in general, because even in, like, the late 2000s...
Sure, they were pushing guys like him by that point.
Yeah, and he's still wrestling like a madman, so he'd still be crippling himself.
I guess so.
Although he wouldn't be in the main event 5 years ago. You know, he would still be getting pushed and all that, but he'd be,
he'd just be a crippled
Intercontinental Champion. Or he'd be the guy who's getting slaughtered by somebody like a Kane or a Sheamus, and then everybody would be pissed at them or whatever, but... You bring up a good point asking, 5 years ago, but shit, if you go back even further, think about like how bad this would have been if he would have been in the Attitude Era where everything was hardcore, or how it would have been in the 80s. Like, this wouldn't have been a situation where Daniel Bryan gets to come out, say how grateful he is, and retire and go on to have kids. He would have died.
Yeah.
This would have been a situation where we would have found out that he had some kind of drug addiction to deal with it or whatever. Or he would have died in the ring, or he would have gotten released and like been in like an Umaga situation where a couple months after he gets released, he's dead.
And
so much better off now.
A popular opinion I've seen, I know Wago was a big proponent of this, and I don't know maybe if his opinion has changed with more evidence, but Daniel Bryan could go to other places if his contract runs out, and he could maybe wrestle if he thinks he has these approvals from other doctors and they're okay with it. But if there really is even a hint of anything there, and the way he put in this speech says he wants to stop for his safety, for the sake of creating a family with his wife, then I think that's a very smart and mature decision, and that's what I really hoped he would have done.
I really don't want to see any report whatsoever in any capacity that he's going to Lucha Underground, TNA, Global Force, Ring of Honor, New Japan, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, of course, we don't know something else about his health. I mean, we only know what they tell us, and we can only speculate. But I can't imagine this being a situation where that's a good idea. And the last thing I need to do is, you know, report on Daniel Bryan's death.
Yeah. You know, as a wrestling fan right now in WWE, I feel bad for us and him especially, because with AJ Styles coming in, and Shinsuke Nakamura coming in, you know he was just salivating at the opportunity of just having these matches with these guys. And unfortunately, it's all taken away from him. So that's another thing I'm upset about, just these great matches that we could go back and you can see some of these matches outside of WWE. But just in the thin end now, just imagine one like a match with AJ Styles at like a SummerSlam or something like that. That would have been incredible to see. But there's other great people that we could watch in the meantime.
Yeah, just putting something out there. Mm-hmm. How fucking crazy would it be if at the end of this speech Brock Lesnar came out and just beat the shit out of
him? I was thinking the same thing.
I
mean,
I don't want this to have happened, of course, but like, just imagine the reaction if, like, when, you know, he's doing the yes chant and you just hear that, like, Brock Lesnar theme start, everybody just would be like, what the fuck?
See, I actually was thinking the same thing, but I didn't think Brock Lesnar, so I guess it wasn't the same thing. I thought Mark Henry.
I thought
unicorn horn.
See, I wouldn't have thought Mark Henry. I would have thought, if anything, it would have made sense for Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because he flipped out earlier, and then he was just going to be like, fuck this shit. Or I'm going to give you a pile driver.
Even Dean Ambrose. But then it's not as, like, intimidating.
Yeah.
It's just another dude.
I think it was just on a heel turn with Roman Reigns.
It's just some, like, weird, like, dirtbag who just is, like, going to the ring to beat up the nerdy guy.
Heel Undertaker comes out.
On a motorcycle.
I'm pretty sure we saw every possible scenario of someone coming out on the internet this today in general. But what would you think if they were going to do something like that? If this all was a work, what would have been the best case scenario going forward? Like, how much would have he been able to wrestle before possibly getting more hurt?
The best possible scenario they could have done would have been CM Punk. He would come back and be like, listen, the only reason you got your push was because I left. So get back in line, buddy. I'm back and I'm back on top.
Hey, you can't complain about the WWE doctors. That's what I do.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, hey, they can still do that. UFC. They're into freak show fights now. Let's do it.
Oh, and he just puts him on the turnbuckle and keeps doing the knee to the face. I would think Brock Lesnar would be the best. Because, I don't know, between, like, WrestleMania matches of being Lesnar and Wyatt versus Lesnar and Bryan, give me Lesnar and Bryan.
Mm. Also, one more thing, because I've really done most of the talking. Do you think, like, Shawn Michaels, is there a possibility of him coming back 4 or 5 years from now? You think that's completely out of the water? I know these are different injuries. Shawn Michaels, you know, it was a back injury, and there was a lot of bad things going on in his life. This is a concussion. It's a completely different ballpark, and there's really not a lot of studies and tests done that really show.
Well, Sean left because he got crusty and old.
Yeah. I think he means the first time.
The first time, when he got the back injury, and then he came back. Do you think there's a possibility of him coming out of retirement at some point?
I think there's a possibility maybe Daniel Bryan would do a really light guest spot. It might even only be like a tag spot. But I don't expect him to do a match.
I don't think WWE is ever going to let him come back in a ring. And I think one day he gets the itch and he goes to another promotion, even if it's for a one-off.
I think he puts somebody in a yes lock on a random promo. Mm-hmm. That's the best you're going to see.
That's a damn
shame. You know who's probably really happy right now? Hideo Itami is like, I get both my finishers back. Awesome.
You know? Something I was thinking.
There's the problem, Wago. They're probably going to actually let Nakamura use the knee.
Duh. Plus, Hideo Itami's still injured.
Yeah.
Be great if Nakamura comes in and he uses the GTS.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I have to look into this. But you know this whole injury bug that's been going around?
Mm-hmm.
Can we trace that back to being the first one in this line being a Hideo Itami?
If you really want to, you could go back to Daniel Bryan getting injured the first time.
Well, there was a space after that until like this onslaught came. There was some point where it was like patient number one, and it just blew up from there.
Was Hideo before Sammy?
Oh.
It might be Sami Zayn.
No, didn't Sami Zayn wrestle on the show that Hideo got taken out?
Well, Sammy was wrestling after he got that injury. I'm assuming that was the same one.
Well, Sammy was injured, came back, and got injured again.
That's
right?
True, yeah.
So were they two different injuries, or is it the same one?
No, I think he got hurt, and he just kept working hurt and made it even worse, is what it was.
Yeah, so he did the Daniel Bryan thing. What a fucking retard.
Well, if we can, then now we have Hideo Itami on the list of people to blame Daniel Bryan.
If anyone wants to go back and do research in the chat, feel free to.
That's a lot of dates and research and stuff. I don't know if I have
I'm trying to find it, and I can't see, like, a list.
I'm used to getting disappointed and fucked over by the injury bug in MMA. It's, like, hasn't hit the WWE this hard in a long time.
See, Tony, now you have a new, like, page for Smart Out Moment, the injury report list, where you have a list of all the injuries in WWE.
I think he has that already.
Yeah, don't you have like a DL list or something like that?
I have the turn, the title change, and the future endeavors.
Well, that sounds like a good one to have.
But I also have the hierarchy page. Mm. So if somebody gets injured, I move them on the hierarchy.
Yeah, that's not the injury report.
But do you date it?
No. See, that's just like so much extra work. But I might go.
Well, if you do it when it happens, it's not extra work. Okay, well, just suggestions. Not going to tell you how to run your site. Everyone out there, you tell Tony how to run a site because he listens to feedback. Oh, wait, no, he doesn't. He posts polls in the chat of what you want us to do on SmackTalk, and it's like, nah, we'll do something else.
I listen to it. I just don't follow it.
Okay, fair, fair. Speaking of listening and following, we have something coming in from Twitter on here. So let's see what we got from our good friend Dane Quinn. He sent us a couple tweets, actually, at Raw Post Show. I was in Miami for WrestleMania 28, and the Yes chant dominated The Rock's return to the ring. I remember that. Even The Rock had to like kind of pay respects as soon as that happened. Another one comes in at Raw Post Show. Highly unlikely, but Daniel Bryan didn't want to turn into Benoit. A lot of similar moves. I'm not sure what exactly that's a response to. But
I think he might be referencing the flying headbutt as considered one of those moves that causes a lot of damage, and he probably doesn't... He's saying Daniel Bryan doesn't want him to get into the same mental capacity of Chris Benoit in terms of brain damage.
Well, especially ever since the Chris Benoit, you know, incident in general, they've been a lot more just careful when it comes to concussion stuff, especially after reports about how brain damage he was, just like the 70-year-old Alzheimer's patient is what they compared his brain to.
What's funny about the flying headbutt? Dynamite Kid's actually said he regrets popularizing it.
I bet so. And I bet he regrets it because of the Chris Benoit thing especially.
Funnily enough, everyone else regrets his existence. So,
it's me.
Did it.
Everyone out there, you are listening to the Raw Post Show on MegaPowersRadio.com, the most interactive post-Raw experience available. We're talking about Daniel Bryan's retirement. Getting really deep into this one, so if you have something you want to say, send it to us. Tweet to us at Raw Post Show. Put it in the chat room. Use the voicemail widget on MegaPowersRadio.com, and we will use it on this show to further our conversation. Other things happened on Raw.
Oh, really?
And there actually were some decent things, but man, this is just such a big thing to have happened. I don't want to exhaust the whole thing, because I know we're definitely going to want to dig into this some on Smack Talk this week, but... The fresh reactions right now are important, and there's so many thoughts going through everybody's heads. I mean, the nice thing about this, I guess, you don't really want to say it's nice, but this isn't impacting them so much because they've already been without Daniel Bryan for a year or so. So that's not too harmful, at least. It's not going to harm the product overall any more than it already was. But he's going to be missed, that's for sure, and... I can't think of someone that was so universally liked by people in wrestling in quite some time.
There's actually a good that comes out of him going away.
Hmm.
A Royal Rumbles might be safe from Sabotage. Yeah.
No, what are you talking about? They have retired people come out as guests all the time.
Oh, fuck. as long as they don't do one in Seattle, we should be okay.
So next year, Daniel Bryan's coming back as Papa Shango, right?
No.
It's up to Barrett.
If Barrett tweets it out, then it'll happen.
If Barrett is back by then.
That's true.
It's another guy.
Oh, he'll be back. He'll just get injured again.
The hell's been up with Barrett, too? Like, they seem to just kind of, like, trot him out there, and he doesn't have, like, a cast on. He doesn't have, like... I don't know. Like, what is his injury? I don't even remember what it was. Is that a concussion thing, or was it like a...
No, I think it was like a muscle strain or something.
He gets hurt so often that I imagine he just goes around backstage screaming boom and bullhammering like inanimate objects and injuring himself.
He's got a little bone chip in his elbow he's recovering from.
No, if he just runs into anything, people around him are just like, whoa, dude, hold on. Let's get the doctor in here. Let's get you checked out. Barrett, come on. What are you doing?
They should change the beginning of his theme. Instead of boom, it should just go, ow.
Fuck, I'm surprised they haven't given him like a bubble to just stay in 24/7.
So one thing we just did not too long ago to start the year is we made our predictions of who we thought was going to be departing with the company. And I don't think any of us had Daniel Bryan on our lists.
I think I had him as my number one, didn't I?
Did you?
Let me double check that. Future Endeavors forecast.
This week we dealt with a lot of NXT releases. A lot of them were, maybe if not expected, a lot of them were like, who? So nothing hurt.
No,
there.
Apparently I didn't. Apparently I had Resumendez as my number one.
Well, see, when it comes to Daniel Bryan being released, he's still with the company, but he's still going to be doing stuff within. So it's really hard to say that he's a future endeavor when he's going to be with the company for a while at least.
Well, in what capacity? A lot of people I've seen have been talking about how the best place you're going to be to see him is Total Divas,
which would suck. I've tortured myself for two seasons. I haven't watched it since then.
Isn't it
a lot of pro wrestlers?
Like season or something?
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Well, they do like two seasons a year now, probably three.
Well, what a lot of wrestlers get out of the business if they try and get away from it as far as possible because it's kind of too painful to be around it. So you might not necessarily stick with the company.
I wouldn't be surprised if Daniel Bryan hosts like a reality show about lumberjacks or some shit.
I bet he finds something. Kind of like how Austin got really bored and started opening ranches and game shows and shit.
I'm waiting for the Daniel Bryan podcast.
I would love to see him take over Billy Gunn's training spot.
Oh, that would be fantastic. But you know what's really probably going to happen? I think Daniel Bryan's going to end up turning to a life of light crime.
He is pretty mischievous, isn't he?
He went into total mischievous mode, too, when he made that that pre-joke.
Yeah, just like...
Yeah, he got that total look. He's like, hey, yeah, guys, dirty dog Brian here.
He reverted back to his 13-year-old self.
Yeah, we didn't hear what they actually said to each other when Brie came to the ring, but I'm pretty sure it was, you fucking asshole.
Well... Hashtag thank you, Daniel Bryan. That's the one that was going around. Gratefulness from everybody, I'm sure. It's officially a world where Daniel Bryan is no longer an active WWE competitor. Maybe he'll wrestle again. I would really like to think not. And that's pretty much where I think I'm going to leave this topic at. Any closing thoughts you guys want to throw out there for this?
Agreed.
There's so much that could be said. But...
Something out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Please, everybody, don't start doing the whole bandwagon thing of next year he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh God.
Jesus Christ.
Wait a little bit.
Give
relax.
It like 5 years. Wait till
do you think he should be in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. Start a hashtag about it.
But yeah, there's so much that could be said. We could save it for a number of episodes.
Guys, this is great because now that Macho Man is in, now, like, all the internet wrestling smarks are going to have, like, a new guy to complain isn't in there yet.
I thought that's Owen Hart.
I think Owen Hart is kind of cooled off with everybody.
Well, that sucks. Well, Brett has cancer now, so he's definitely the one that people are worried about.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually, like, this is the perfect time for Brett to milk that, too. If there's one thing I want to see before I die, it'd be great if Owen was in the Hall of Fame.
Nudge.
Right, sis?
So let's talk about some of the things we had happen on Raw. Our show opened with Stephanie McMahon having a contract signing for the main event of Fastlane. Brock Lesnar, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, they come out, they jawjack for a tiny bit, they sign a contract, Brock Lesnar flips the table, F5s Dean Ambrose, and leaves smiling.
There's something so natural to say Brock Lesnar flips a table.
There's no other way I could have explained this opening segment. I'm like, yeah, that's what Brock Lesnar do.
Best contract signing ever.
Yeah, well, see, even Stephanie was like, yeah, well, I know this table's going to flip, so I just need you guys to sign here. Will you sign this now, guys?
You know what?
Okay, see ya.
I think Silent with the Doom is correct to me. He didn't necessarily flip it. He lifted it and threw it.
I'm 100% positive this was the greatest contract signing of all time.
They had to give him a table, because if they give him anything smaller, it goes into the audience.
You can't give him a car door.
So, we're all on the same page that this triple threat match, it's essentially a handicap match until Dean or Roman turns on each other, right?
Oof. I really hope that's not the route that goes. But, the benefit of that is if that's what happens, Roman Reigns is not in the main event. And I'm okay with that.
Think Brock Lesnar's going to win then?
he's actually my favorite for this match and who I want to see win it.
Wait, really?
Brock yeah. versus Triple H would be fucking terrible.
Fuck no, man. I can't wait.
Oh, no, fuck that. Like, I'm down for The Rock versus Triple H, but Brock versus Triple H, I ain't believing
that again. Well, see, they couldn't get The Rock, so Brock had the closest name. So that's the why Brock. They're going with him. Brock,
he's gonna get the B out. That's gonna be the new campaign before WrestleMania.
you know, I bet enough time has passed since they had those three matches back in 2012, 2013, where people will just completely forget about that.
Yo, Brock didn't have roles have switched Suplex City as well. Back then.
Yeah, and the roles have switched. Brock is the face now. Triple H is the heel.
Mm-hmm.
That, Brock is not a baby face. Brock is just Brock Lesnar. Brock doesn't have an alliance to any, like, he's not face, he's not heel, he's just Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, but people actually cheer him now compared
that's what fair. He used to. Yeah, I mean, but Paul Heyman doesn't quip at the crowd, you know? He panders to doing the chant-alongs with them.
So he's just himself.
Yes.
Sure.
We had our opening match was Kevin Owens versus Dolph Ziggler, and I gotta admit, as soon as I saw both of these coming out as our opening match, I was already thinking, like, oh, this is going to be an awful Raw. I really don't want to see this match again.
Oh, I know. I felt the same exact way.
These guys have really bad chemistry. And it took a little bit of time for it to expose it, but this match is really where I'm seeing that these guys do not belong in a ring together, and this program needs to stop.
The weird thing about it is there were so many rest spots. They had the sleeper hold. They had to do the 9.5 count with both of them outside the ring. That's actually one of my least favorite things in wrestling right now. They do that way too much. And that really needs to stop. Because I feel like they've done this with these two a number of times now. Then is this like his second win over...
Yeah, he won last week too, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm pretty pissed off with Kevin Owens' situation right now. I think they need to keep him with constant momentum because he's a guy you can bring to any feud. But if he's just falling flat, then he's got no momentum to be put in a position.
What the hell's
Dolph Ziggler going to do with the rest of his career anyway? No one cares about Dolph Ziggler. Dolph's done. Fuck Dolph.
They had to, they did the thing where, oh man, he used the ropes for leverage. So... I wouldn't say that he's turning heel, but they've got to be doing something with Dolph to like give him something to do right now. And the thing that the story they're trying to tell Kevin is that he's like crazy or something like that. That he's just really pissed off when he's lose, which I understand. It makes sense to an extent for him, but if they're really gonna go down that route, they need to do what Brock Lesnar did last year when he didn't get that rematch with Seth Rollins right away, and he should just start like powerbombing Byron Saxton.
Then he'll get too much of a babyface reaction, like when he powerbombed Machine Gun Kelly. They really think people were gonna like be offended by that?
I don't know.
Oh, boo, I like him. It's like, fuck that. It's like, yeah, you fucking took out the musician.
You know what really looked bad? Is when Kevin Owens was draped over the apron on the side when Dolph Ziggler was outside the ring. And Dolph Ziggler runs and does the Famouser onto Kevin Owens' head hanging there. And he's supposed to just kind of like fall with Ziggler onto the floor. But it doesn't really happen the same way when there's a ring between you and the floor. It looks awful.
Yeah. I don't know. Is Dolph Ziggler not as good as a worker as we thought he was? Is age catching up with him? Because he's getting up there.
Well, he was a good worker, and he's still an adequate worker, but he's old, and more importantly, I think he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
That's the most important part.
One of the best on the roster.
He can have a 5-star match when he wants to have a 5-star match. Mm-hmm. He doesn't. He's gone out there night after night wrestling the biggest, like the longest and hardest bumping matches. He's got nothing back for it. He doesn't give a fuck anymore. And I don't blame him.
Remember all those years when Tony was like, you want to know who the best wrestler is, even better than Daniel Bryan? And he kept on saying Dolph Ziggler. And
I still maintain that was true.
You're crazy.
I'm not putting on the goggles of Daniel Bryan's career is over and I think that he was constantly the best ever or whatever like that. I still think Ziggler... overall was better than Daniel Bryan.
No, you're wrong, because it was AJ Styles.
Yeah.
But it's true that Dolph Ziggler just kind of doesn't care anymore. You can tell, because, I mean, he expresses it every time he gets a chance to. I mean, any interview that he does, it's always there's some kind of a jab of just kind of like, well, they don't fucking want to push me, so... And you can't blame him to a certain extent either. I mean, anybody who's seen Office Space, he is the Peter Gibbons right now. He's just like, well, I'm only going to do as much as I need to do just not to get fired.
Well, even at that, you look at him. They have given him opportunities. Unfortunately, the biggest opportunity they give him, he gets a concussion right after they gave him a world title. And even 2 years ago with the Survivor Series thing, and he was the sole survivor, quote unquote. Miguel, they kind of ruined that for him.
Miguel Leon in the chat saying, are they afraid to let Ziggler go? You know, he's the kind of guy that I could see another company really getting behind and maybe doing something with.
Not TNA.
Not TNA. I say he should go to Lucha, put a mask on him, ooh, completely reinvent the talent, and I think you could go to the moon with the guy.
He can I think he's a guy who could find his identity in New Japan and pick up a lot of new tricks. Because AJ Styles always talked about that. He had all these tools that he learned wrestling from all over the world, but when he learned it in Japan, he just added huge layers to his game. If Dolph's just bored at his craft right now and he really wants to develop it, that'd be perfect place for him to go to.
I'm 100% positive he's bored of his craft, because you remember last year with all those rumors about, oh, he wants to go on and do a comedy thing. He was going to leave the company when his contract expired. When I look at Dolph Ziggler, I think he's the guy who it's about the money. And I guarantee you that is the only reason at this point that he's with WWE, that's the biggest paycheck out there. Yeah.
It's just a job.
And to some people, that is fine. And the people that complain, that brass ring that Vince talked about, I understand that some people don't want to do that because some people attempt to. Zack Ryder. And Zack Ryder is still with the company, but he's going to get released eventually. And there's probably other people who have tried to reach that brass ring and failed. I'm 100% fine with those who are content with having the job and going out there. Even if Ziggler just doesn't care anymore to an extent, if he's putting on at least good matches, not as great that he can do, I really can't complain.
See, I disagree. Even if it was just something he's looking at as a job, do your damn job well. You want to be the best in your field.
Yeah, but you know what? There's also something to be said about WWE not allowing certain things to be more fun.
Oh, like,
Ziggler can go out there and he could put on a decent match. The exact same match could be considered just like a notch higher if it had a feud behind it that people could get into. I mean, that's not to say that, you know, a match can't be a 5-star awesome match without a feud, because we've had that before. But having something behind it makes it better. Just the same as having a shitty feud is going to make everybody go, like, I don't really want to see that match.
Let's say your match doesn't have heat behind it, doesn't have any feud behind it. If you have a good enough match, and I mean to the point where you've busted your ass, you're going to make people want to see it again, and maybe the people and the voices in the back go, okay, let's put feud.
Cesaro.
Let's make feud.
Yeah, but he also has seen so many times where he's had a really, really good match and nothing's come out of it. So what's the motivation? Is it better to have like a – I mean, of course, I'm not just actually saying that this is a flat-out number, but say his match tonight was a 7 out of 10. Would it have done him any good to do a 9 out of 10 and potentially hurt himself and get nothing out of it anymore? You do a 7 out of 10. You get a pat on the back of having a good match rather than having a great match that nobody cares about just the same.
Every time that you've got eyes on you, you want to put your best foot out there, because be it just one rider in the back that just goes, you know what, I'm going to advocate to push Dolph, or be it someone else in another company that goes, when his contract comes up, I'm going to make him the star of my company.
Or more always to him, a few more fans in the crowd will buy your t-shirt.
What if possibly that those two just went out there and did the match that they told him to do? If that's what they told him to do, that's pretty shitty. And we know WWE, like the agents in the back, sometimes don't do the best job when it comes to figuring out how the best two people work with each other. I'm 100%
positive.
What are
you talking about? Stardust and Goldust was a masterpiece.
I still think, I bet they would say it was as well, but I believe that match, if they try to do it now, I bet it could be a good match. You just got to figure out how these two can click. I guarantee you that these two can go out there and have a great match, even an awesome match, if they really figured out how to. Maybe they're just not giving the tools to do that. And it's probably like that with a number of people. Like that Stardust and Goldust match, I bet they didn't give him enough time. They couldn't. They probably tried to make him tell a story that didn't really make sense as well. There's a lot of things with we could pick apart with feuds and matches specifically, where there's moments where it doesn't make sense that maybe that they were just told to go out there and do something like that.
I got a few comments in the chat room I want to catch up on here. Wazili saying Dolph busted his ass and got stuck in a relationship with Vicky. Blech. All I got to say to that is, yeah, he was put in a relationship with Vicky, but then he became world heavyweight champion.
And he also had more heat on him than ever before.
Mm-hmm. That was probably one of the pinnacles of Dolph Ziggler's career, actually. That was probably the first like real peak he had. So I don't see how you could really hate on that.
You know what I forget? He had a WWE Championship match at a Big Four pay-per-view against CM Punk. And that was right after I came back to watching wrestling. People never bring that up with him. That did happen at one point. There was stock in him.
Was that when CM Punk was fat and doughy?
No, that was like right after he won the title.
That was the Jericho year.
Right? Yeah. Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Well, shit, look at the reaction he got when he cashed in Money in the Bank on Del Rio. People went fucking nuts.
And like I said, if he didn't get that concussion, he probably would be in a lot better spot right now than what he currently is. Maybe he would have the motivation to go out there and do better. But that concussion... I'm 100%
positive. Stop repeating yourself, Drew. We're moving on to the next fucking point.
I liked hearing the
How do you spell that?
More importantly than the reaction he got from Alberto Del Rio is the reaction he had the night before at WrestleMania 29, which I don't think people heard when you're watching the broadcast. But after the match between Del Rio and Swagger, when he didn't come out, the crowd got pissed.
You were there too.
That's how I know because you didn't see it on the broadcast. But if you were there in the crowd, they cut away to some like I don't know Air Force video or some shit, and that the crowd just started booing. And I don't think it was because of the Air Force.
No one would boo that. That Mania fucking sucked.
That Mania did fucking suck.
There was only one good thing out of all that.
Even the wind blew.
I like what you did there.
All right. We had a Divas match, Charlotte versus Alicia Fox. Wago, you didn't watch this, right?
I only watched one woman segment tonight, and this was not it.
I figured.
Was the woman segment the last segment?
Are you saying Daniel Bryan's a big wuss or something?
No, I said his wife came out there.
Shut up.
No, I think it's a fair point. Charlotte wins via submission at this with a figure eight. Nothing really of note here.
Yeah. It was a Charlotte match, and it sucked. And she's still ugly.
Every time she does that spear and does the... I'm just like, oh, God, you are so...
You know what? She does that like thing where she like takes her legs, wraps them around her opponent's head, and like bangs it against the ground. Ever since she came up to the main roster, that move has fucking sucked. I love that move when she was in NXT. Terrible.
What, the spear?
No. That move where she like puts her legs around their head... She'll, like, bang their head on the ground with, like, her knees, and then she'll, like, roll them over, kind of, and she'll continue to do that. I don't know what it's called. I'm trying to explain it. It's probably not the best explanation of it, but...
Miguel Leon in the chat room says Charlotte has a negative ass.
It's fucking weirdly disproportionate. I've been saying that for weeks now. Someone agrees with me. Thank you, Miguel.
I remember I saw a post in a wrestling group that was a picture of her ass, and they were like, yo, Charlotte's got that cake. And the first comment was, yeah, pancake.
Probably pancake,
Are we playing Whose Butt Is It Anyway again? I hope she's not on it.
Whose Butt Is It Anyway?
What is it? I don't fucking remember
whose what ass is this, but Whose Butt Is It Anyway is pretty good, too. We do have a new game tonight, though, so for you fans who like our games, we're going to do something.
Is it Ahmed Johnson?
There's no Ahmed Johnson in this game. This actually is not a game that's going to require memory or anything. This is going to be a creative thinking game.
Too many games conventions for damn sure.
Oh, we're fucked.
Well, it's a good thing we don't have the WWE creative on it. Then they'd really be fucked.
Maybe we can get Russo on it.
Maybe we can get Rusev on it.
Potatoes.
We had a Miz TV segment, which quickly became a highlight reel, which was actually kind of a fun thing they did. Chris Jericho comes out, he just started taking over, cleared the set, the carpet was brought out, the Jeritron came and got lowered from the sky.
My favorite part, my potted plant.
The potted plant, he's like the stool that was given to me by Roman Reigns. It's like Roman Reigns gave you a stool?
Why did Ambrose give you a plant?
I can't imagine Ambrose going to like the gardening section at Super Walmart. Be like, oh,
I imagine he just like, I imagine he yanked it out of someone's front yard and just showed up with it.
Put a bow on it. Here you go, Chris.
Figured this would go good with that stool Roman got you.
You told me to give me some,
Roman just took it from a bar after he left.
And Roman just drops it in front of him and goes, stool.
I mean, if Roman was walking away with your bar stool, I think you'd just kind of let it go.
Oh, yeah.
So you'd just be like, you know what? Not worth it.
I ain't looking to die over that stool.
That's not your stool, Mr. Reigns. He just cocks his fist and you're just like, all right.
Take it.
That'd be a great heel turn.
Stealing stools everywhere.
Yeah.
There's a new WWE Network show. They've got Ride Along. They've got those other kind of things. It's just Roman Reigns goes into bars and steals stools.
Great.
I'd watch it.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all I really had to say about this segment. AJ Styles comes out and there's some jaw jacking and then there's a small brawl, but nothing really of note. The most fun of it was just when Jericho came out and took over.
Honestly, this was my favorite segment of the night that wasn't Daniel Bryan.
What?
Yeah.
This was the best Miz TV I've seen because it stopped being a Miz TV and then it started being about AJ Styles. I'm like, this? I like this.
What you got to consider is if they're building this Chris Jericho AJ Styles feud, which I'm assuming is what either going to be the Mania match for these two. If that's what they're planning on doing, I think they're doing a great job just building the eventual heel turn that Jericho's going to get. You know, and I think The Miz said it best, you know, he was like going really in depth when it comes to like the hatred, the fact that Jericho lost his match. I think Jericho is actually selling this a lot better than what people, especially me, have been giving him credit for over the past few weeks. And the reason why I think this is the best segment of the night is just the amount of story that they could potentially build with this going forward. And that's what I really, really liked about it.
Hmm. Any other thoughts you guys want to throw about this, though? Or are you drooling over it as much as Drew is?
It's nowhere near as good as what Drew says. It was a decent segment, and I'm glad they're keeping AJ Styles strong.
Listen, there's three talents in there that I like a lot. And I actually think this is a creative way to build a feud and a creative use of The Miz, which...
Thank God. Like, The Miz is one of the most underutilized guys they have on their roster. I don't care if he can't put on a 5-star match every night. That guy's got mic skills, and he generates heat consistently.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like how they used him for the Rock-Cena feud, where he was this third man in there just kind of, like, being an asshole so people could get a little bit of support for both guys in the feud.
Mm-hmm.
I'm digging it. I just hope that they don't screw up when it comes to tomorrow's SmackDown.
What are you hoping for? Are you hoping AJ gets two wins in a row, or should Jericho get the win so we could have the rubber match?
Nah, Styles is going to win.
I really would hope that the match doesn't even happen.
Really?
I want the match... If we're going to have Jericho versus Styles again, I want it either at Fastlane or at WrestleMania. I think throwing it away on SmackDown is pointless, and I don't want to see it on SmackDown. Well, I'm not going to watch it on SmackDown anyway, but I don't want to see it on SmackDown and then have it get announced again on Monday Night Raw next week as like, well, this is going to be their rubber match at Fastlane. Because then it's like, well, it's so simple and easy and just, you know, one guy wins, the other guy wins. Now let's have him fight again. I'd rather you have one good match where that's it than to have to do three out of
them. I don't think that's the story they want to tell. I think the story they're telling is Jericho's going to go up against Styles multiple times and he's going to get beat each time. And Styles is the new guy. Jericho's got an ego. And I actually see him and Miz becoming a team again and trying to stop out AJ Styles. I think Jericho's going to get pushed at some point, and he's going to have a big heel turn after his third or maybe fourth loss.
Wait, again? Jericho and Miz were a team once?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
So after they both teamed up with Big Show and it both went shitty, they teamed together.
Really?
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that. Yeah. I remember both of the Big Show tag teams.
See, what I would like to see, depending on what they want to do at WrestleMania, because we don't know yet, I'm still hoping that we don't get some of the rumored matches that we're getting. Like, I don't want Strowman versus anybody in a singles match at all. So if it's like Strowman Taker, fuck that. I want something like Owens Taker, and that would rule out Owens Styles, which would mean
who is Styles' face, and that would be somebody like a Jericho. So I wouldn't want that to be happening at Fastlane, because then I don't want to see a rematch. So I would love to see something happen where on SmackDown, Styles and Jericho are about to lock up and Miz comes out and ruins it. Just fuck you. I want to be involved in this. I want to be in the center of it. And then if they need to do something with these people at Fastlane, make it a triple threat and make Miz the one who takes the fall so you can do a singles match at WrestleMania with a gimmick.
I think as far as AJ's future goes, I think this Jericho feud probably doesn't go past Fastlane.
Probably not.
And then he's going to take the IC Championship at Mania. Not necessarily against Ambrose, because Ambrose can drop it from here and now.
Random Raw.
Random Raw.
Comes out and throws him in a match.
Or it could be a multi-match for the IC belt. They've done that before. Or, shit, if they wanted to do Ambrose versus AJ Styles, I'd be down.
What if, and this is going to kind of spoil something that I probably would have talked about next week with our predictions, but what if Ambrose turns heel at Fastlane and drops it to Styles at WrestleMania?
Then that would be awesome. Like, I don't think anyone would be upset at watching Dean Ambrose and AJ go out there for 15, 20 minutes.
Possibility.
If they would give him that. That sounds more like the kind of match that might be in fear of being pushed to the pre-show.
I think it'd definitely get 15 minutes. Maybe not 20.
No, they would not put Dean Ambrose, who was in the main event of the previous pay-per-view, on the main show. Or on the pre-show.
Really? Because they've done that before.
I think they've got stuck
on before WrestleMania?
Styles.
Yeah.
When?
Oh, God.
This wouldn't get pushed to the pre-show. Andre the Giant Battle Royal would.
I think Morrison had that happen once.
Morrison and Miz actually wrestled for the first undisputed tag titles on the pre-show.
Yeah, and lost, didn't they? Did they lose to the Carlito and Epico?
The Carlito and Primo.
Carlito and Primo?
Yep, that was to unify two sets of tag titles.
All right, Ric fucking Flair was put on the pre-show once.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying
don't
that
underestimate
not
this company.
He was sour about that, you know?
Like, I'm just really saying they would not put Dean Ambrose, who was on the main event of the previous pay-per-view, on the pre-show, especially at WrestleMania when he has the IC title.
And he's fighting one of their newest acquisitions, card is so, like, low.
The IC title, which wasn't even defended at WrestleMania for, like, 7 years?
I think their priorities with AJ Styles means he's going to get a decent spot in the card.
I hope so.
I can understand why you're hesitant to believe. I mean, how many times have we been burnt with these guys that should just get a good push from the get-go?
It's not even so much AJ Styles. I'm also not confident in them to get behind Dean.
Maybe he should give him plans.
Someone who we did think that they were going to be getting behind, or especially Tony, was Ryback. We've been seeing all these pictures coming out on his Instagram of a potential new outfit for him, and he came out with it. He went against Bray Wyatt tonight wearing these new tights. They even gave him this new hype video before he even came out. It was looking like Ryback was going to have a future. Well, ha! Swerve! He lost tonight's match against Bray Wyatt.
Not surprised.
When he came out, I was going, oh, awesome, they're not doing Goldberg. Oh, God damn it, they're doing Goldberg.
It's not like he got, like, buried or anything. The only bad thing that happened was he got a Sister Abigail out of nowhere. And that was really the downfall of his thing there. Otherwise, it was a strong showing for the most part.
Yeah, losing to Bray Wyatt isn't a terrible thing, and I'm glad that Ryback switched looks up. I didn't like the singlet on him. I think singlets are just way too out of style. Like, only certain guys can pull it off. It's more of an 80s thing.
So tomorrow on SmackDown, is Ryback going to come out and, like, attack Bray Wyatt, and that's going to be the feud between these two at Fastlane?
I hope not.
They've already done that feud, and I say keep Bray out of the ring as much as possible. Try and put him in the back of everyone's mind before he beats the shit out of Lesnar.
SmackDown will be some dumbass six-man tag. They'll have Ryback and Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose against three of the Wyatts or something like that. It's just a complete waste.
No, they'll lose by disqualification or win by disqualification.
Yeah, the one by DQ when Braun Strowman gets involved or something like that. It's, copy-paste.
That sounds like a SmackDown match.
Yep.
All right, we got a couple calls coming in from our SpeakPipe, so let's bring those in. We got one from
SpeakPipe.
We got one from Dave Chicago. Guessing that's Dave from Chicago. Let's see what he has
from
to
Texas.
Say.
Is Damian Sandow dead?
The eternal question continues, guys. We did not see a Damian Sandow sighting on Raw tonight.
Well, 1 week of not seeing Damian Sandow does bring up questions of immediate death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I'm going out on a limb. I'm saying he's dead.
Should we at least like take out Ned on a milk carton first?
I just got a fucking visual. So put in there. Can you put his ass in the hood?
All right. Well, thanks, Dave, from Chicago, keeping the joke on. We also have another one in here from Silent Wind of Doom.
Ooh. Actually, wrestled for the first undisputed what tag titles on the pre-show.
Yeah. Okay. And lost, yeah, they, didn't they? Did they lose to Carlito? And... Okay.
For thanks to playing back our show.
Yeah, thanks, Silent Wind of Doom.
That Yo, was Silent Wind of Doom, you do an awesome Wago
impression. I know, right?
that was really odd. Thanks for the voicemail. All right.
Shit, that was a really good mate. You want to come out and do the plugs like that?
I'm thrown off now. I don't know where to go from here.
Is Stephen Wago dead?
We had to get an impersonation of him.
Yeah, the imposter.
Damn, you made me do it.
I'm so glad that those tards can't call in anymore.
Oh, boy. So we have a match between Titus O'Neil and Adam Rose. And by God, I spoiled this in the beginning of the show. Adam Rose gets a pinfall victory on Titus O'Neil. I think it's official, guys. Anyone who is questioning whether Social Outcasts is a force to be reckoned with, time to start getting on the bandwagon. These guys just beat Titus O'Neil, who has been on a relatively big push the last couple months. And with all of them, the guy who I would say is their weakest link, Adam Rose. This is awesome.
I still want them to get rid of Adam Rose. I fucking hate him. I can't stand him. He's terrible. He is the absolute drizzling shits at its shittiest.
But that's why he's great.
They couldn't put
that's why he's so good in there.
I would have rather they kept Bull Dempsey and put him in there.
No, see, what Adam Rose, the one thing that they're doing right with him is like he's saying stupid shit. And the rest of his teammates are calling him out on the fact that he's saying something so fucking ridiculous. Like, Adam, what the fuck?
See, Adam Rose is like the type of schlock you watch to laugh at how bad it is. That's what he's become to me. And that's why I'm starting to like him, I think. I'm starting to really appreciate.
So you're getting the Mike Adam effect.
Yeah, I'm appreciating it at how bad he is as an art form. That's the level of bad he is.
I think I would have rather had seen Fandango in his spot.
Well, there's a lot of people I would have rather seen in that spot. But...
Well, shit, maybe this group can grow like an NWO.
I mean, shit, at one point we were all hoping Ryback was going to be the leader of this group. So. I mean,
they've been experimenting with all these different Social Outcast shirts. They just got to find that one design. Then they can grow.
I do like the one that they just got, the now churning one.
Mm-hmm.
That makes the most sense out of all of them. I like it. It's funny.
It's funny.
Funny.
We had Dean Ambrose coming out to call out Brock Lesnar. Don't you know that's one of the cardinal rules? Thou shall not provoke the beast. Brock Lesnar comes out. Roman Reigns comes out to try to do the save. And while he's distracting Lesnar, Dean Ambrose goes in for the low blow. Very odd. The crowd seemed kind of like out of it. They didn't really know how to react to this. I don't think this was necessarily supposed to represent a heel turn, but it's definitely representing a desperation from Dean Ambrose that he was displaying all night. He kept getting really tweaky, and his eyes were darting more so than normal. So there's definitely something going on with Dean Ambrose right now.
Nah, if they were doing anything, they were probably letting people know that, hey, this is a triple threat match. Technically, there's no disqualification, so you can do something like that in this match.
It'd be great to see a no disqualification match where somebody just did that right off the bat. They're just like, immediately start hitting somebody in the crotch, and it's just like, dude, what the fuck? What? I can't get DQ'd.
So, in the early days of UFC... back when it was the most barbaric, heinous shit. I highly recommend anybody to go back and watch like the first 10 UFCs just to see the insanity that was going on there. There was this two guys that were fighting. One of them was this tiny Asian guy who came out holding a cross, by the way. That's worth mentioning. He came out carrying a cross like he was Jesus or some shit. And he was fighting another guy. And the Chinese guy had him in a headlock that he just could not get out of. This guy was pretty much donezo, and if this was present-day MMA, he would have had to just give up. But rather than giving up, this guy is doing everything he can to get out, and then all of a sudden he punches the Chinese guy in the balls, and he realizes, wait a minute, that works. And then he just continually starts punching him in the balls over and over and over until that guy taps out.
Effective. I know, I have to go back and watch this. That sounds incredible.
There you go. People are always saying that you guys don't have finishers.
I will find that and I'll post that actually, in the Maniacs.
Actually reminds me, back on one of the older WWE games, you could create finishers and really long absurd ones.
Oh, yeah.
And my one incarnation of Cocknose had a finisher which was just 10 to 15 low blows in a row.
Wait, so Cocknose is like a long-time creation?
I've been making Cocknose for many a year.
Oh my god.
I thought that was like just something you did because you realized you could import the skins.
No, I thought it was funny. I made Cocknose and just kind of made designs on him or made him look ridiculous.
Wow. Okay, so you must have been really excited when you could actually put a cock on his nose.
Hell yeah.
Eventually Cocknose is going to come out and be like, I'm so grateful to be able to do this for so many years.
If Cocknose ever debuts in any wrestling company, I'm asking for royalties.
We had the Lucha Dragons back together. Sin Cara is back already. That was quick. Going against Alberto Del Rio and Rusev. King Barrett was there. I don't know how he's doing. But Del Rio and Rusev gets the pinfall victory here.
Wait, who did they beat?
The Lucha Dragons.
Man, I don't remember this at all.
I liked after Del Rio did that finisher in the corner that he should only do now and again. What is it, the border jump?
That's what we've been calling it. I don't think that's actually the name of it.
I hope it is. But I like how he did this little, yeah, got him, after he did it. I'm like, yeah, yes you did.
Well, no, because every time he's hit it the last few matches, he's missed it. Because Kalisto is such a you know, crafty, scrappy little dude. He's always rolling out of the way or whatever. So I think that's the first time he's actually hit that move in a while. Which is good. It should not hit all the time.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous move. To be quite honest, you really should just use that...
That's a desperation move.
That super kick when someone's on their knees.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that move should only be circumstantial. Like, if you happen to be battling on the top rope and one guy falls.
Yeah, Del Rio.
Yeah, you prick.
Sasha Banks comes out to be on commentary for the match between Becky Lynch versus Tamina. Tamina getting a surprise victory here. I think this is after Naomi gets involved in the match too, causing a distraction. Is this the match you watched, Wago?
Yeah, and damn, Naomi kicked the fuck out of Sasha. She made that look good.
Wow, you're complimenting him. Okay.
Yeah, I actually liked this segment a lot. It was just kind of went wild for a moment, and it was fun.
Fellas, you got anything you want to say about this? Because I have nothing.
Yeah, Sasha Banks got the shit kicked out of her there.
Yeah, she really did.
And that's the one thing I took away from the match. I feel bad for Becky Lynch, or Lunch, really. You're put in very bad territory.
Or Lanch, if you ask Lillian Garcia.
I don't know.
Lanch.
I wonder if she's a Grammy winner, but...
Did you hear her say that tonight?
Yeah, slap me!
Slap me!
You guys can't make fun of me anymore! I bet they'd be ripping her for like...
Oh my god, that
weeks now because of that.
Alright, we got another attempt here by Silent One the Doom to send a voicemail. Let's see how this one works.
Oh, can't wait to hear myself.
Okay, hopefully my mic is working now. So, we've been talking about everything with Dean and Roman and breaking up and all of this being going on for months and freaking months now, and Stephanie keeps bringing it up and teasing it, and it's driving me freaking crazy that she keeps doing that. It's pissing me off. I'm not 100% sure why. I don't know if it's just that they're trying to be cheeky by acknowledging it, or that them bringing it up as if we all haven't already been talking about it just shows how out of touch they are. Anyway, my question is, after what happened tonight, a little bit of heelish tendencies, but both of them still seeming to be a cohesive whole, do you think that what actually is going to happen is another option, that they both still stay together and both end up heel and go against Brock as a heel next week, 2 weeks from now? They still won fault with that, but I'll let you discuss among yourselves. Go for it.
Talk to yourselves. I'll give you a topic.
You know what? The greatest thing about the Silent Wind of Doom is he's so unsure about himself whenever he talks. He's like, should I be sitting this right now?
So was his question, are Dean and Roman Reigns going to turn heel on Brock Lesnar?
Yes. No, I think he's just posing a possible scenario because everybody's fantasy booking over who will turn Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. What he's saying is, what if both of them turned together and kept their brotherhood, but they both went heel? And that's actually a pretty unique idea. I don't think I've heard anyone else pitch that idea.
Yeah. I would say there's a best bet. 5% chance that'll happen.
Oh, I don't think there's any chance of that happening.
That's like a 0%
chance. Yeah, it'd be great having no baby faces.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. If John Cena and Randy Orton and Cesaro and all those cats were still around, they could take that chance. But right now, there's no way in hell they could do that.
Yeah, we're talking about they could just skyrocket AJ Styles to the moon. He'll just be like the fourth member in that match and he'll get the surprise pinfall and be him versus Triple H at WrestleMania.
I'm in favor of AJ Styles beating everyone.
Yeah, no, he pins Brock Lesnar to prove a point that he is the best. He is the phenomenal.
Not only does he pin him, he does it with one foot.
He pins him with a finger. How about that? That's even better.
I'm down.
They do another one versus all match, and he pins them all in 5 seconds with one finger.
So Selwyn of Doom is asking, so why turn either heel? Because you can make the same argument that they don't have enough baby faces. And I agree.
Yep.
I don't think you should turn any of them heel. And they've been teasing this for a long time. Every once in a while, they'll start doing this where they tease. Usually, it's Dean Ambrose is going to turn, and they never follow through with it. And I like that. I want them to stay bros.
I still want Roman Reigns to turn heel, but not now.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to turn heel after WrestleMania, after everybody's kind of gotten back and everything. Because I want Rollins to come back as a babyface.
Yeah.
And I would love to see a scenario where, like, maybe Dean wins Money in the Bank if Kevin Owens doesn't. And maybe we have, like, I still think that Dean Ambrose is one of the best, if not the best, baby faces out of the whole roster right now.
Definitely.
And if they were to turn him heel, I'd be disappointed because I think Reigns as a heel would be cooler. And down the line, you know, maybe like Roman versus Dean at like SummerSlam.
You think Owens has got Money in the Bank? AJ's taking it.
AJ's a possibility. I think Owens, AJ, and Ambrose are my top three.
They don't want none.
See, my top is Brock Lesnar. Just throwing that out there. Tables match. Originally was going to be the Usos against the New Day. However, earlier in the night, we had the Dudley Boys approaching the Usos in the locker room. Be like, hey, this is a tables match. You know, we're kind of like the tables match guys. You should let us be in the match. And so they did. And so things couldn't be uneven, even though that was the original plan. New Day got to add another person to their group, which was Mark Henry. Huh.
He was so happy. He's like, came out clapping, smiling. I'm like,
he's like the he's like the fat kid when they're playing dodgeball who got picked before last.
And he got picked because he would be a good goalie.
Yeah. So that's cool, I guess. The Usos and the Dudley Boys get the victory through the match by putting Big E through a table with a 3D. However, that's not the notable thing about this match. Afterward, one of the Usos is pointing to his leg, looking like he's got it hurt, and the other Uso helps pick him up. But while they're all laughing at the New Day, while they're backing up on the stage, I forget if it was D-Von or if it was Bubba Ray, but one of them kicks the leg out from that Uso, and then they start beating them down. Put them through tables. Officially heel turn by the Dudley Boys here. Thank fucking goodness, because these guys... You want to talk about people who have not been relevant. The Dudley Boys, other than like the first 2 months when they were back, I could not have given a shit less about anything they have been doing since.
This was fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of the Dudley Boys. I think they've been misused. They should have got that tag title, those tag titles. Now is the time to do it. I wanted either the Usos or them to turn heel. I'm fine that they chose this. And the thing that I love about the Dudley Boys as a tag team, as a heel tag team, they don't run away from a fight. They're the guys that do the run-ins, put people through tables because they're assholes. It's great. Like, there's too many of the weaselly, cowardly heels out there, so I like having the Dudley Boys in there. It's a different dynamic.
And so everyone was hoping to get to see the Bully Ray character. we're not going to see that full Bully Ray character, but if we get a heel Bubba Ray, we'll get to see a closer shade of that.
True that.
So we were just talking about Ambrose and Reigns and how there's too many heels and they can't turn one of them because they wouldn't have enough baby faces. Look at the amount of tag teams.
Mm.
Heel tag teams right now are Dudley Boys, Usos, League of Nations.
Wait, social tag teams?
Yeah, heels.
Usos aren't heels.
New Day, I meant. Oh. New Day, Dudley Boys, League of Nations, Social Outcasts are pretty much heels. Wyatt Family. Then on the babyface side, we've got the Usos and sort of the Lucha Dragons, even though one of them's doing his own thing. Sort of the Primetime Players, but they kind of split up.
Well, you kind of got Darren Young and Sandow, well, I guess.
No, Tony, you're forgetting the most important tag team that is getting ready to get their big-time push, and that is Goldust and R-Truth.
You also forgot the Ascension. Who are heels?
That
can actually work just fine, having a shit ton of one as opposed to a small amount of the other, as long as the smaller amount has the tag titles. Because then you've got endless tag teams to just recycle through as opponents.
I'm just saying right now would be a great time for Enzo and Cass to come up.
Holy shit, it would be.
They would have to be prepping for something like that, right?
Well,
they're not really used on the tapings of SmackDowns for the not SmackDown. They're definitely not used on the tapings of SmackDown, but the tapings for NXT over the next couple weeks.
Have they been announced for a match at Dallas?
Nope.
No, it's very suspicious. I think night after Mania is their night.
I'm starting to really think that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. Before he wins Money in the Bank, AJ should win the tag titles too.
With who?
Himself.
So, just a little off, would you have the New Day still as the tag team champs after Mania?
Fuck no.
You think the Dudley Boys take them off them?
Yeah, they can do it, but they're kind of in that tweener role right now, and then they can fully turn heel.
The only reason I've been okay with the New Day keeping the tag titles as long as they have is because there's been no other team worth taking them. Now the Dudley Boys have reinserted themselves into being a spot where they should.
Yeah, but you never know. They could book them weirdly and fuck that up as well. So I wouldn't be
they could, on but that typically yet. When the Dudley Boys are on, they're really fucking good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is true. The one scenario I was hoping for, and I was hoping they would have called them up by now so we could have like Enzo and Cass versus the New Day, because those two teams on the mic alone, it would have been very good segments. You think in your head. So I was hoping in some way, shape, or form that we would get those two teams going forward. And maybe they still can do that after they get called up.
You know what? If they need babyface tag teams, I think you got two of the hottest acts in NXT right now with Enzo and Cass and American Alpha.
Yeah.
Both of those teams can be brought up and just completely light the division on fire.
What about the Vaudevillains?
They're heel again, I think. But they're a class act, too. I'm fine bringing them up as well.
Just don't bring up the Hype Bros.
Yeah, no, fuck them.
American Alpha, they're probably going to win the title, if I had to guess. They might be in NXT a little bit longer, but mark my words, around SummerSlam, I would not be surprised if they would be called up as well. Because they would have to be pushing some of these guys out. I don't know how long Bubba and Devon stay in WWE. Yeah, Bubba and Dudley, that's pretty much what it is. But I imagine at some point they're going to begin pushing them out. And I don't know how long the Social Outcasts and the Ascension's places are going to be. You never know. They could start bringing up a bunch of NXT around that time.
I don't Anderson think and Gallows.
Ooh, yeah. I forgot about them.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about those. Yeah, do that. That's kind of like AJ winning the tag titles.
If he wins all the titles, he's the tag team champ.
Somehow he brings back the European title.
All right,
and the light heavyweight title.
We came to the end of Raw with that, since we already talked about the Daniel Bryan speech. But the show is not over here. We still got time to take your tweets and your comments in the chat, whatever you want to throw out there. So get them to us. We're going to play our good, bad, and ugly. I'm sorry, we got to do the good, bad, and ugly. Then we're going to play some games, and then we're going to be wrapping up after that. So there's still some time. Get them in there. But first, we got to take care of the good, bad, and ugly. We're going to talk about the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, and the most god-awful must-avoid part of the show. Drop yours in the chat room if you have it. We'll read it out a little bit later. First, we're going to take care of ours, though. it is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Wago, what is your good, bad, and ugly?
For my good, it has to be the Dudley Boys heel turn. Fantastic stuff. Bad, that awkward-ass R-Truth and Goldust segment. Just bizarre. If there was a joke in there, I didn't get it. And the ugly has to go to Daniel Bryan's retirement.
Wah, wah. Tony, you're good, bad, and ugly.
My good is going to go to Daniel Bryan's speech at the end. We talked about that at length. I don't really need to elaborate on that. My bad's going to be the fact that Dean Ambrose is still kind of looking like the weak link here. And I don't think that that's a good idea for them to do that, because it's just making me think even more that this is, well, all right, Roman Reigns wins and he goes on to be Triple H WrestleMania. And that kind of stuff, it's annoying. You know, I want to see them switch it up a little bit. Make Reigns look like the weak one. Make Ambrose look like the guy who is going to win. Fuck, make Brock Lesnar look like the weak one. That would be really weird.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. They're never going to do it.
That's not how you book Brock Lesnar.
No, not at all.
No,
I would be super curious, and that would be more interesting than them just going with the obvious.
No,
because I'm watching Brock hurt people.
They teased that a little bit with the whole Wyatt thing they were doing with him, and they started making Brock look weak. I fucking hated it.
I just don't like the Wyatt thing to begin with. And I'm like, that's one of the reasons why I'm not looking forward to the match at Fastlane, because it's like, all right, well, the Wyatts are going to come out and cost the match for Lesnar. You know, he's too tough. He'll lose because of four other people. And, you know, so Ambrose kind of looks a little weak in that. And Lesnar, he's staying stagnant. So that's just a little annoying to me. And my ugly, I would give it to the R-Truth and Goldust segment, but I didn't watch it, so I don't know what to criticize. Although I saw Goldust was wearing something that looked really stupid. So
he was kind of Jimi Hendrix.
Ugh. But the ugly, I'm going to just give to the idea that the whole Daniel Bryan retirement thing that just soured what could have been an amazing show if he would have said that he's coming back. You know what I mean? So it sucks he's gone.
Drew, you're good, bad, and ugly.
My good. If it wasn't the Daniel Bryan thing, which you guys have already talked about, it would either be the Miz TV segment or Mark Henry coming out with the unicorn horn and dancing. That made me laugh for some reason. I don't know why. My bad is the Goldust R-Truth segment. Didn't really care for it too much. In my ugly, and always will be my ugly as long as she's on the show, Charlotte. She is abysmal. Give Sasha the belt. Now.
All right, let's read some of the chat room here. Peter Picanini says, good, finally I get a catchphrase back. Bad, I'm retired. Ugly, it was concussion that put us both in. What the fuck are you talking about, Peter Picanini? I don't even know what level you're on. It's not the Neville level. Silent Wind of Doom says, good, Jericho being the best I've seen him since I started watching. Bad, Daniel Bryan retiring. Ugly, the image of Goldust spending a night in jail, and my friend joking about how much he would enjoy it.
Well, at least someone would enjoy it.
Well, for me, my good. My favorite little joke that they made throughout the night, other than Daniel Bryan's quip about what Brie was saying, is when the Dudley Boys originally approached the Usos, and they accidentally called Jay Jimmy, or maybe it was the opposite, I can't remember. And the brother's like, oh, no, it's cool, man. People do it to us all. People confuse us all the time. And Devon is like, yeah, we know. People confuse us all the time, too.
I forgot about that.
That was a really funny little joke they stuck in there. My bad, I got to give it to this. Dolph Ziggler versus Kevin Owens. I am so burnt out on watching these guys, and I'm really starting to see all the problems with both of them. It's not doing favors for either of them. I'm losing more favor with Dolph Ziggler than I already had, and Kevin Owens is starting to look like shit now. And when you're doughy and you look like shit, that's not good. But I mean chocolate shit, right? Ugly, I gotta give to Adam Rose's boots. Those things are fucking horrendous, and it's been a while since Adam Rose got an ugly spot. So I'll give that to him. Hey, I have a favorite commercial. I don't bust this one out every week, but I had something I had to talk about here because I think this is so significant, guys. And I don't know if you saw this commercial, but they had a commercial for USA for the Westminster Kennel Dog Club.
I saw it.
It was fucking amazing. They basically presented the Westminster Kennel Dog Club like it was like a wrestling show. And all these dogs had their own personalities and vendettas of what dogs are going to go against and beat in the competition. It was fucking great.
So, you got any favorite dogs?
You got a dog in this fight?
Well, I mean, all I know is that Sherry the Poodle has been held back for years. It's getting absolutely fucking ridiculous.
Oh, it's Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm surprised that I didn't see this commercial at the time. I don't know when it aired or whatever, but I was expecting you to say that we've got a third colonel.
Oh, my God!
Yeah.
Fuck! What the hell is going on with that?
I don't even know who this guy is.
No, it's just some fat fuck with a fucking wig on.
How did you guys, like, not expect this when a long time ago, like a few months ago, they did something similar to this by just, like, he was in, like, the Colonel Sanders, like, box house thing, and he was talking about how, like, there was another imposter one.
No, I remember. That was when they did the initial switch.
It's going to get really weird when, like, a pig in a truck kills one of them.
So what if this is like a James Bond thing where they're just going to keep having a new guy come every couple months?
I'm just waiting for like the big confrontation where they put him on a wrestling ring.
Oh, Peter Piccanini saying it was Jim Gaffigan? I don't know.
That's Jim Gaffigan.
Is there going to be like one real colonel that comes back and kicks all their asses, or is like the original one going to come back who was terrible and save us?
You know how?
But he was amazing.
You know how I know it wasn't Jim Gaffigan? It's because it wasn't talking in awkward third person.
And it's not advertising Hot Pockets.
To be fair, I don't remember anything that the new colonels do. Like, I still remember Three Chicken Dinner.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, yeah. Freaking, what's his name? Norm McDonald's was fucking awful. They were so dry. This has potential. But seriously, what the fuck is going on with this story? This needs to lead to something.
Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Oh, my fucking God.
No, Jim Gaffigan is the new Colonel Sanders, apparently. That's an actual thing.
So what if they had somebody come out, like Wego saying, you know, the quote-unquote original Colonel Sanders that ends up, like, you know, being like, oh, fuck off, everybody. But he's just been, like, off gaining more rank. Like, now he's 5-star General Sanders. And he's just, like, all war-torn and fucking, you know, he's got scars on his face from the shit that he's seen.
All I'm going to say is the first new Colonel Sanders was the best one because it was hilariously bad. And just I remember
brave.
The Daryl Hammond one?
Yeah, no, and it was it was funny because like,
remember we found that fucking YouTube channel that had like every line of the song on loop for like 5 hours, so you could listen to Three Chicken Tenders and Three Chicken Tenders.
And it was like stale, like fake laugh loop as well.
Yeah, that was amazing. See, that's what, he should be the one that comes back as the original one and just be like, that imposter one was actually the Norm MacDonald one. And
just come back and slaughter all the other ones.
His $5 Philip is going to fuck the other two Colonel Sanders up. That's for damn sure.
My $5 Philip will fuck you up.
He was so into the role compared to the, especially Norm MacDonald. He was phoning in every goddamn commercial. Meanwhile, Daryl Hammond's like, I'm an old fucking man selling a chicken.
I think if they got JR to do it with Skittles.
Oh, did you hear Ring of Honor got lights? Jim Ross can't complain anymore.
No, they still need to slow down.
I would like to change my good to that commercial now. Okay. Just the endless opportunities. That's probably the one thing I'm looking forward to out of everything.
What if WWE got that memo from like the Nielsen rating stuff? It's just like, well, what was the highest rated segment of the night? Well, a lot of people tuned into this fucking KFC commercial.
Well, shit, man. They brought in Jared before, which I bet they're really regretting all those times now. But they could bring in the KFC guy.
Yeah, he's a cross-faced chicken wing.
Oh,
yeah, then he gets popped for being a pedo, too. Just
see,
like,
here's the thing. They'll do that. They'll have like all these Colonel Sanders come out. Everyone's going to fucking hate it but us. It'll be amazing.
If everybody else hates it. If I like watching him go out and put a tenderizer on somebody or whatever, fucking do it.
Remember that WrestleMania when John Cena came out and he just like had a line of John Cenas on each side of him? That's what he'd have with the Colonel Sanders.
And instead of the ba-ba-da-da running down to the ring, it's just Three Chicken.
Three Chicken Tender.
Chicken Tender.
All right, we got Nitro.
Yes. Silent Wind of Doom in the chat saying, seriously, though, you know Gaffigan is imitating a hypothetical audience member when he does that?
He's making fun of Jim Gaffigan? Oh, I don't like that. Oh, I better post something in the chat that he didn't like. I don't like what he said.
There. Good for you? Okay. We got a new game tonight, fellas.
Woo.
We debuted a new game last week. Whose ass is this? Oh. I got another new one for you this week. This one's a bit different than all the other games that we played. As I said, normally they're going off of memory or other things like that. This one is 100% creative thinking. You don't really need any knowledge of anything that happened in wrestling or what wrestlers are around existence. This is all just coming up with things on the spot, and we're going to see how you do. So this game is called Hey Sean, Get a Jobber.
Oh, Tony's not laughing because he likes trying to keep the friendship going. Yeah, but fuck me, Tony. How can you not laugh about that?
He's keeping his mic muted.
So here's how this game works. You guys are going to select a number of 1 through 10. And I have a list of 10 professions or occupations or jobs, whatever you want to refer to them as. And you're going to take the suggestion that I give you when you pick that number. And you have to book a character around that profession. Very similar to how WWE had a lot of those profession characters in the 90s. I'm going to put the clock at 2 minutes. And you have 2 minutes to book how this character is going to exist. You can talk about what their theme music would be, how they would look, what kind of feuds they would do, if they would use a weapon, their finisher, any of that stuff you can come up with. You'll each have 2 minutes for whatever one you pick. And then the audience in the chat, you will get to vote for who you think has the best wrestler that they're coming up with. The only thing that you have absolutely come up with is a name for the character. Everything else is optional that you want to add in. You have to come up with a name. You guys understand?
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. My audio cut out for a good 30 seconds of all of that.
Well, that sucks for you.
Well, I guess you're basic idea is you're going to pick a number. I'm going to give you a profession for that number, and you have to book a wrestling character around that.
Okay.
So everyone in the chat room, make sure you are listening, because you guys have input. You're going to choose who wins this one tonight. So I forget who won last week. I think Tony won last week, which is always an easy assumption to make. So, Tony, we're going to have you go first. Pick a number between 1 and 10.
4.
4. Hold on. Let me get my stopwatch ready, actually. It's probably an important thing to have if I'm going to do this. Timer. 2 minutes. Okay. Tony, number 4. The wrestler you have to create should be a nuclear power station operator. Book it. Timer's going.
All right, so if we're going to go nuclear power station operator, we have to assume that this guy's got some kind of ties to Atom Bomb or something close to that. I think you need to have him come out wearing those like protective gloves and the suit that you see on The Simpsons. That
I knew you were going to go with Simpsons if you got
with
this
that.
One.
Yeah. You got to do that, right? And you got to do some kind of explosive theme to him. You know, like his finisher's got to be the meltdown kind of. You know, you do the typical stuff like that. I don't think you go goggles with like the Atom Bomb thing.
Yeah,
I think
they do
you.
Nothing.
You give him spiked up, like, green hair because he's already been infected with whatever is going on with the radiation. And as far as, like, a name goes, I think that WWE goes back to what they used to do. You call him, like, Nuke Jones or something, like, real lame like that. Because this character is going to get booed. It's going to be ridiculous, like, Glacier levels, kind of, which is awesome. I miss those kind of characters. I want to see him wearing a whole bunch of different kind of outfits that glow in the dark. Like you can turn the lights out and see that he's radioactive. I think that maybe you give him like contacts for his eyes to go with the weird green hair and shit. And fuck it. Make him somebody who's like a real tall beast of a dude too. I like this idea. I actually kind of want to see this character.
Still got 25 seconds.
25 seconds? Let's see what else
we
get. What was that?
Who does he beat for a title? Go on.
Who does he beat for a title? He can beat anybody. He's fucking nuclear, dude.
He's nuclear,
dude. You ever seen Nuclear Man versus Superman?
The goggles do not work.
He kicks the shit out of Superman. So he would kick the shit out of anybody on the roster, especially AJ Styles.
Damn. You missed one thing. He could have took Wade Barrett's boom, and he could have done that.
Oh,
no. That's a good idea, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, it's not yours, so sucks to be you, nerd.
Silent went to Doom, saying he can't wait for Drew, so let's go to Drew next. Drew, pick a number between 1 and 10 besides 4.
Okay, well, see, 4 was the go-to number. I'm going to go with 7, and see, this is 7. Bullshit that I have to go right after Tony.
No, actually, like, with this type of thing on the spot, I'm going to, like, totally show.
I'm terrible with on-the-spot stuff. I'm pretty sure I could answer, like, bands who did performances.
Your profession is professional wrestler. Ah, shit, I don't know. he's like a dump truck or something.
All right, Drew, your profession is a firefighter. Book it.
Well, we all know that every firefighter station has a dog, so definitely this guy will have a Dalmatian of sorts. I'm not pretty sure. It's not going to be Fifi. I'm not quite sure on the name for it, but I'll come back to it. And along the lines of Tony, he's going to have some generic name like Jack the Hammer, some stupid shit like that. I'm just kidding. But really, at the end of the day, he's going to come out wearing firefighting stupid. He's going to do the one thing that no one likes. Especially, he's going to take the sirens from Cesaro's music. That's going to be his theme music the whole fucking time. During his matches, that sound will play, and it'll annoy the shit out of you. Meanwhile, this Dalmatian of sorts, I don't know what the fuck they're going to do with the dog once it gets down there. We'll figure it out as we go.
It's going to shit everywhere.
Anyways, he's going to be really good at ladder matches because he has to climb ladders for a living. So you don't want to face this guy in a ladder match because you know you're fucked. He's the fastest climber out there. Any Money in the Bank match, this guy will be in it, and he will be the number one threat to take out early on. And really, when it comes to what he wears, he'll have that like firefighter getup to go along with it. But when he takes his clothes off, you want to know what you're going to see? Oh, just God. So.
Three dongs.
Is this for a calendar?
I was just going to say charcoal because, you know, he's going to be black because he's going to be dealing with the flames and stuff. You would have to get some good looking guy to play this role, too. I'm talking about the best looking. You know what? Fuck that. Fandango hasn't been on TV for a while. He was able to make a dancing character really good. That'll be him.
He'd be a great sexy fireman.
Yeah, exactly.
Fandango's totally a black guy.
And listen, at some point, they're going to get really cheesy and they're going to be just stupid. They're going to do some like firefighter like calendar. You definitely know Fandango is going to be he's going to take all those poses seriously. I'm imagining this now. Just imagine like they have like a girls' night out. I'm going to finish this thing. Girls' night out.
That's not how the rules work, Drew. That's the point of a timer. But I feel
how did you miss booking him in an Inferno match?
And you also missed like his catchphrase. The fireman is very magical. If you rub his helmet, he spits in your eye.
You mess with the fireman, you're going to get burned.
See, I'm liking this idea of the Fandango fireman calendar. He could have, like, the axe behind his head, you know, where he's holding his arms up so he could flex his chest while he's holding it. Like,
here comes the axe, and here comes my...
Here comes the axe. Axe hand.
Yeah, no mention of a hose. You really got a lot of missed opportunities there, Drew, but good try. Good first attempt at this new game. Way go. The last man left. Pick a number between 1 and 10 that is not 4 and 7.
Can I pick 10?
You can pick 10, yeah.
I want 10.
You want 10?
Yeah.
Wago's going with number 10. Wago. This one's going to be interesting. Your profession is a tailor. Book it.
Cool. All right, so this guy is, first off, tailor-made for professional wrestling.
Ooh.
He comes in looking stylish. He comes in looking swag. And he finally gets on the microphone, and everybody's wondering, who is this guy? Well, fucking hell, my name's Sean. What, you want me to fucking wrestle a match? I don't think I'd have to wrestle as a wrestler. Oh, I'm going home. I ain't doing this fucking job. And then he retired.
You still have like a minute and a half left.
Yeah, he retired. He's grateful, though.
See, you missed it. Remember that one?
He got Luke called in the early retirement.
See, Kalisto was this character, and that's all you had to say. He was going to be that gay hairstylist. Except make him a tailor-made guy.
Silent Winston's, I win.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and stop the clock since Wago seems to be Corey Gravesing this.
You couldn't even name him Taylor? Like, I don't know, like James Taylor?
No, his name is Taylor-made, Tony. Come on.
He was Taylor-made for pro wrestling. But apparently he just didn't want to go to work.
All right, guys, drop your thoughts on who you think won this one. Who you thought booked the best character out of all these. We have Tony's nuclear power station operator, Drew's firefighter, or Wago's Taylor. We're going to give you guys some time to put that in the chat room there. Whoever wins this will be declared our winner. This is a one-game night, and they will pick one of the losers to read our plugs tonight. And you could also run suggestions of how you think the loser should be doing those plugs. I'm going to give you guys a few more seconds here. I'm going to play this while we wait.
Attention, maggots. This is Sergeant Slaughter from WWE and G.I. Joe, the real American hero. You're listening to Mega Power Radio. Don't touch that dial. And that's an order.
Ooh, yeah. Hanukkah burger.
All right, let's count up what we got here in the chat room. We have one vote for Drew, two votes for Wago, and four votes for Tony. So our winner of tonight's game of Hey Sean, Get a Jobber is Tony with his nuclear power station operator. Really fun game. I enjoyed this one tonight. If you guys enjoyed it, please let us know. I'm trying to experiment getting us lots of new games in here. I saw, what was it, Silent Wind of Doom, I think it was, said something like, in other words, is the Belter Berry of the Rumble show. It's not that bad, is it?
How pissed is Sean going to be?
he's probably going to unfriend us, but it was so worth it. he's gonna rejoin all of the groups he left just to let us know that he thinks it's really shitty that we talked about that.
I think he's got a problem with geeky girls.
No.
Well, I heard the guy that runs it is a total fucking pig.
All right, well, Tony, you are a winner tonight. You get to choose who has to do our plugs and how you want to do them. We got a couple suggestions in the chat room. I'm not going to read most of them, but you can take your pick.
I like Silent Winter Dooms.
Well, I see that some people have thrown out there that since Wago... I can't remember who it was. I think Angie might have said Tony won and Wago lost specifically instead of Drew.
Yeah, but I think votes.
At least Drew tried.
Yeah, I think I'm going to pick Wago as the one who reads it.
Ha! Sucks to be you, nerd.
But man, I don't know about how, because I don't know if Silent Wind of Dooms is a good idea. And I'm not seeing any other suggestions.
Kenneth Cage's the only one that's
given all these other suggestions. I don't see any. I think that first one, Silent Wind of Doom, said is really, really good.
What was Kenneth Cage's? Let me find out on here. Read.
There was one that was posted earlier while we were playing the game that I thought was pretty funny. I can't remember what it was.
Couldn't have been that funny, though.
What was it, the Brie Bella one?
Was it the Brie? Yeah, it was Brie Bella while Daniel Bryan was fucking her.
please can we do that one?
I don't even know if Wago could figure out a way to pull that off.
I also, actually, that was the one part of the promo, too, that I was out of the room for.
Oh,
yeah, I heard that's what Brie said, and then that's all I heard. I don't know if that was all it was.
Just imagine mischievous Daniel Bryan. That's all you have to imagine.
Angie's got a good one.
Angie's got a good one. I'm going to go with that one. Wago, do it as the colonel. And you can pick any of the three colonels. Although I'm assuming you'd go with the good one.
It's Markard moment. It's by Tony. He uses too much fucking hair gel. You can check out Drusive White at Big Balls Drew on Twitter. Come here every week for Mega Powers Radio and Chicken Tenders at Steve Wago. No, Stephen Wago. I changed my plugs.
I changed my plugs to fuck you up.
All right, folks, we hope you enjoyed this edition of the Raw Post Show. We're not going anywhere. We're not retiring. We are live here every single week after Raw goes off the air. Tune your browsers to megapowersradio.com for the most interactive post-Raw experience available. We're inviting you guys to get here every week. Yes, shout out with the Doom. I was just about to point it out. You guys kicked ass with the hearts tonight. 353 hearts. Kicking lots of butt, guys. I'm almost certain that's blowing the record away. It's going to be tough to beat that one. We had a lot of love tonight. People were so grateful for everything that happened. We are grateful for you guys, and we appreciate you guys tuning in every week. That's the number one way you can support us, guys, is by joining us every single week, joining the chat room. Actually, the number one way is by supporting us on Patreon. I think I didn't even say at the beginning of the show. If you enjoy what we do here, you can subscribe to us on Patreon, where for as little as $1 a month, you can help support us here. Guys, we do this for free. We don't expect you to do it for that, but we keep things ad-free here, and it does cost money to keep things running. So anything you could do to help us keep the lights on, keep bringing you cool shows like Raw Post Show, All Talk Show, Daceman Show, everything we have running here on Mega Powers Radio, anything you can help to support would be absolutely fantastic. If you enjoy me, I'm on Twitter at MRPADEN. That's Mr. Payden. And also, as Peter Picanino was putting there, I have been doing some Twitch streams lately, been having a lot of fun with that. As far as tonight, I don't know. I have to finish editing the show and get it up everywhere, and that's going to take another hour or so. So I don't know how I'm going to feel after that, and I've been very exhausted lately. I just opened up a new store this weekend, so I wouldn't expect it, but keep an eye on Twitch. Certainly follow me, and you'll see if I am going to be Twitching tonight or at some point throughout this week. I haven't quite made a schedule for that yet, but if you put on the notifications, you will be alerted when I do. Till next week, folks. For Drew White, for Steven Wago, and for Tony Mango, I am Mike Payden. And we'll catch y'all on the flip-flop. Dup, dup, dup. Dup.